and in bungalows were just waking up, some shaving, others showering, still others already sipping coffee in the mess halls where they gathered for breakfast, many nursing hangovers after a night spent socializing on shore leave or at the base itself. Indeed, at Wheeler Field, some were still going strong, wearing tuxedos and stumbling out of the officers' club at 7:51 a.m. into the bright light of day, laughing and carrying on after their all-night party. These men dismissed the hum of engines in the sky, assuming that Navy planes were performing maneuvers, and they likely felt sorry for the pilots having to fly at the crack of dawn, on God's day, no less, while most of the thousands of men and women assigned to Pearl Harbor were off duty. But as the hum grew louder, some of the men in their tuxes realized the engine noise did not sound quite right, different from their Navy planes, and in that moment, the casual mood turned dark. As the planes closed in, the rising sun insignias on their wings were revealed, and in the next seconds, a wave of Japanese dive bombers opened fire, strafing and dropping their payload. The officers in tuxedos, festive seconds before, ran for their lives, just as Americans stationed all around the Hawaiian island of Oahu did, as the shock and awe at Wheeler Field were repeated in the next 9 minutes at other airfields and naval stations, and then extended to the sprawling U.S. Pacific Fleet moored at Pearl Harbor. It was a surprise naval aerial assault involving 183 Japanese attack planes and bombers loaded with armor-piercing bombs, shallow water torpedoes, and machine guns, all of which, in a flash, found targets on the ground and in the harbor. Bombs whistled to earth, sending up columns of oily black smoke from the hangars they flattened and rows of U.S. fighter planes they wrecked, while men raced outside, dazed and wild-eyed, pulling on pants, shirts, or a bath towel, dodging ear-shattering explosions, bullets, and shrapnel, some reaching safety, others not, their bodies bludgeoned by the blasts and bullets. At the mess hall at Hickam Field, a bomb plummeting through the roof exploded, killing some 35 men who only had thoughts about what to eat for breakfast on their minds. At 7:55 a.m., the Nevada ship's band was readying to play the Star-Spangled Banner, when two Japanese planes strafed the deck and shredded an American flag, just as an officer at the Ford Island Command Center at 7:58 a.m. frantically typed what became one of the most famous radio dispatches ever. Air raid, Pearl Harbor. This is not a drill. At the same moment, an ensign using binoculars aboard the battleship Arizona stared at Japanese planes, unimpededly dropping one bomb after another onto Ford Island, before he broke to sound the ship's three-blast alarm signaling an air raid, a howling siren that made its way throughout the 600-foot-long destroyer. Men on other ship decks, too, gaped at the aerial savaging of airfields until something else caught their eyes. Slender black masses in the waters below racing toward them, which the seamen instantly identified as shallow water torpedoes, bombs that had splashed into the water from low-flying Japanese dive bombers and were now speeding toward their battleships, the Oklahoma, West Virginia, Nevada, California, and Arizona. The Oklahoma's hull was struck, sending everything inside toppling, from tables and dishes to sailors and weaponry, including massive shells that broke free and crushed men in their path, the torpedoes creating breaches through which ocean waters rushed and continued into hatches, down ventilator shafts, and through any other open passageway, flooding the ship so that it listed and began to sink. At 8:06 a.m., a high-flying Japanese bomber hit a bullseye more than 9,000 feet below, smack on the Arizona's forward deck, dropping a 1,765-pound bomb that cut through the armored skin to detonate the more than 1,000,000 pounds of explosives and ammunition stored below, an explosion so powerful it caused the 31,400-ton battleship to lurch upward, buckle, and then collapse into itself, an explosion so huge that the fireball soared 500 feet into the air along with burning flesh, body parts, and sailors split in two. An explosion so fatal that more than 1,000 men on board were killed. By 8:50 a.m.,